dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome back to another week here on the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com and joined, as I always am, by my good friend Jeremy Ward. And Jeremy, really a busy week here for spring. Kind of have track kicking into the time of year where we really start to figure out the individuals and the teams that are going to be elite. They kind of, have been known to hide things throughout the year. And now we get to that time where we really find out. And then obviously baseball, softball, moving into the postseason, and that gets extremely exciting. You even have some things in the inbox that touch on some things from throughout the year. Maybe even talk a little all SVC sports banner. Just a lot going on in the show. Just some of your thoughts here as we get ready for what should be a great show.
Well, you're right. Extremely busy week last week. You had baseball and softball tournaments get started, and weather affecting those, and having to turn around and make a couple trips because of the storms, or teams waiting 2 or 3 days to play, and then that piggyback right into the next round. So, just par for the course in terms of spring season. Not ideal conditions for the SVC track meet. We'll get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. But, it's always a challenge, one day it's, 88 degrees and sunny, and the next day it's, storming like crazy. And the day after that, it's 50 degrees and it feels like game one. So you never know what you're going to get, and you just have to show up and, keep plugging. And, at this point in the year, if you're still participating in high school athletics, you got to have a big smile on your face.
Well, you do. And Jeremy, I'll tell you what, we have plenty of time to talk some baseball and softball throughout the show. But on the other side of this first break, we start with another spring sport that is just now starting to run for real. Well, Jeremy, I'll tell you, out at Huntington High School this past week, that was the site of the SVC track meet. And for fans that are not aware of exactly how that sets up, that's a two-night event. They go earlier in the week and get some of the field events and some of your prelims and so forth. I think there's one relay, if I'm not mistaken, that's run that night. And then, obviously, all the final events later on in the week there. But when you look at conditions, if I was trying to think back as I was preparing for the show, I want to say on the first night they met, you're talking about a really hot, sunny night, almost a humid night that just kind of was hard to get comfortable in. And then later in the week, as you had mentioned there in the opening, we started to get a lot of storms move in. We started to get a lot chillier, a little rain in the air, just some unique weather. And it got me thinking about, be it a field event, a running event, whatever it is, the SVC meet being that one time you get your chance to prove that you're the best in the league, or maybe, you individually trying to do something, historic. And when you think of the chilly night, or the wind in your face, or the particular track you're on, and how it might be running that night, it's just that to me, at least, is something that makes track really unique to some other sports. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. And, we've gone back and forth and discussed before how, when everything comes down to that one day, I'd say it was a great day to be involved in field events because the weather was beautiful. If anything, just muggy and hot. But you saw some records fall that night with Reed and Piketon, and with the girls pole vault. You know, Trevor Dettillion and Taylor Baker both breaking records in the discus and shot. So, you know, I think they took advantage of that, and that was kind of ideal. And then on the flip side, after seeing some times in the preliminary heats, they weren't quite as good in certain events in the finals, and obviously weather plays into that. So, I mean, I can't imagine there had to be points Friday night where it was just, you know, ridiculous to run
question.
In. Because I know I was amazed that, you know, they got all the little league baseball and softball games, and I was thinking, man, that had to be miserable. And then I was thinking, oh, geez, miserable would be running track tonight. So, yeah, I mean, hats off to those kids, because I'm sure they slept well Saturday and wanted to stay cuddled up and warm and in bed and had no interest in getting up after going through that.
Well, I'd say you're right. I tell you, as I look down through the page here, and you can find that on our website, Track Fans, you can go and, or really just SVC fans in general, if you want to go and look how it was. Uniota had the clean sweep of the team titles, and you can go to the homepage there, hit your track logo, and you'll have the link you need. Bomb's page, it always does such a thorough job of getting those posted immediately. And Jeremy, I looked down through here. There's a couple things that jumped out at me, and I wanted to get your take. One is that difference between maybe you're an individual that's going to chase a record. Obviously, when you were Dettillion and you stepped up ready to throw, or a Baker, I don't know that there was a whole lot of doubt that they were going to win their event. It was a situation where they're almost throwing against history. You had a sense that they were going to set a mark. And it was almost, well, how long is that mark going to be? Same way with the Reed girl. She kind of put the mark out there, I want to say 7 inches past the old mark. So it's just real, real impressive night for some from a historic standpoint. But then there's another thing that jumped out at me was the youth in our track league. As I go down through the winners, I see in the 4x8, I see Piketon winning it with four juniors, with Varney and Pendleton and Farmer and Dixon. And then the Mills girl from Uniota is a sophomore. And I keep going down here. Dunn's name is all over the place at the top in multiple events. He's a sophomore. And, you know, you still have some of your senior stars like your Goldsmith, but I see Tony Hatfield's a sophomore. And the list goes on and on and on. But I guess it's one of those things that where you see some kids. I guess there's two thoughts here, and I wanted to see which one you thought was more intriguing to you. One is, a lot of times they say with track, kids will hit their peak at a younger age. But the second thing, way you could look at that is, you know, perhaps some of their best times and their best marks are still ahead of them, and the track league is really just now reaching its peak and has a chance to be really, really good the next couple of years.
Absolutely. And I think I'd add to that, Shane, not only you have a lot of diversity, you know, sophomore, junior, senior in terms of, you know, your top four or five in each event. But you really, you know, you get some representation from a lot of different schools. And as you look down through the winners, you know, you see a lot of diversity there. But back to your point on the youth, you know, I know we've talked about this before, kind of on the girls' side. A lot of times, freshman, sophomore, you might get your better times, your better performance. But, you know, overall, I think the intriguing part of the SVC, as you've hit on in the past, in terms of, you know, how all the cards really aren't on the table till this time of year, is the development, and I think we've got some really fantastic coaches in track, and they understand how to use their athletes and how to maximize what they have. So when you see that much diversity, it just gives you a good indication that you know, there's not going to be a lot of down years in the SVC, and it's not always necessarily about who comes out as league champion, but you know, there's just a ridiculous number of kids that have opportunities to you know, stand on the podium, so to speak, at the SVC meet at the end of the year.
Well, no doubt about that. And when we talk about honoring at the banquet, you know, I mentioned something in our track preview last week about how I'm always interested to see how some of the small schools do. You know, the Uniotas, the Zane Traces, even the Pythons are going to stick their nose in there every year with the numbers they have in track. And yeah, obviously Uniota takes the two team titles. The boys put up just a crazy number of 146. But I thought it was really the number that jumped out at me. If you go all the way down to the bottom of that page and look at the team rankings, I have to admit the number that jumped out at me was the Edina Lady Warriors finishing third, scoring 101 and a half points. And I thought that was an impressive number because I've always said that I think what I like to see is with the small schools. Edina does a good job of this. Southeastern does a good job of this. I know Coach Holbert does a good job of it out of Paint Valley, Huntington. You'll see how they'll take some individuals and put them in spots to where they can individually kind of help put the program on the map, if you will. And so you see some of the Edina relay teams really impressive. But that team score jumped out at me. And then obviously with Paint Valley, they have several individuals going to the banquet with Baker and Davis and the very talented freshman there in the high jump, Caitlin Hackworth. So, Jeremy, just some final thoughts there. That was something that jumped out at me on the team standings. Probably not a surprise Uniota boys. Maybe a little surprise Uniota girls. I know Zane Trace girls have had their way there for a while. Just maybe a final thought on the track itself before we get into how this is going to finish up the all-sports banner.
Well, I would just urge everybody to take a look at the results from Baum's page, and you'll see a variety of athletes, kids' names that you know, and maybe some that you don't, and gives you a chance to kind of make a mental note of who to follow. But it's interesting to see again. You've got Uniota and Piketon that tend to dominate some of the distance events, except for a few individuals here and there, and you just see. How good a job Uniota and Zane Trace do as bigger schools of putting two and sometimes even three kids in a position to score points, and that just makes it hard for the other teams to overcome. But, all in all, I think there's some really good numbers there, and I look for us to have some success at the district level.
Well, Jeremy, in the sticking with the league part of it, I guess anytime you get to the end of your spring sports, the one big SVC story that comes up is the all sports banner. I know I had received some information this week. I'm still getting it finalized, and I'll have that posted on the website later this week. Uniota is believed to have set a record, and it's a number that I believe Westfall held from the late 90s. Looks like they're going to move past that number rather easily. I don't have this in front of me. I was trying to think going into the show tonight. I don't believe Uniota finished out of the top two in anything outside of football. And you might be able to help me there, Jeremy. I'm going back through the fall, golf in both cross countries and volleyball, and then in both basketball, softball, baseball, I believe they're second. Obviously, track, they swept. So football, I want to say they finished, I want to say sixth place, but if I remember right, at 3-4, they're only two games off the title, which at 5-2 was a tri-championship this year. So, I know people are going to say enrollment, and they're the biggest school and all that, and I get that, and there's probably some truth to that. But nonetheless, being able to spread the athletes out the way they have and to consistently do some of the things in the programs they're doing, still very, very impressive number. Just talk to me a little bit about the way you think the Uniota athletes perform this year.
Well, I think that's interesting, and the numbers do tell a story when you consider the success in the fall and the spring, and you think about the multitude of sports. You say with the exception of football, but at the same time, you had successful soccer teams that aren't going into the points, but you also had your cross-country teams and volleyball team. And then in the spring with both track and then in baseball and softball, every bit in contention, really with the exception of baseball. But it really tells you the story, the commitment to the athletes when they do choose a sport. And the funny thing is there is a buzz about the all sports banner around Uniota, and it's something that people are aware of and something that I think is not necessarily in the back of their minds, but kind of in the forefront, that with that enrollment, I think comes the challenge that, hey, it's our responsibility to, if we're not going to win a championship, we got to have our nose right there, and we've got to be near the top every time, and kind of keep that string of championship banner, all sports banners going.
Well, it's definitely an interesting conversation that probably takes on a lot of different angles depending on what school you're at and with the number of student athletes throughout the different sports. And you know, now with wrestling coming in, it'll be interesting to see how that throws a little different curveball in next year's standings. But again, those standings have been sent to me. I appreciate the help on that. Just getting them finalized, getting the page ready. Hope to have those up here within the next week. But again, it's looking like that's going to be a record-setting number. So congratulations to Uniota there. Well, fans, I'll tell you what, stay with us. Next up, we turn our attention to softball and the tournament, where the postseason has potential long roads ahead for some, but others have seen the road end too soon. Well, Jeremy, let's talk softball tournament, sectional champions. Let's start on the winning side here for the SVC teams. Huntington beats SVC rival Piketon in a really close, well-pitched game. Sounds like some pretty good defense played. Again, some conditions that that were extremely tough. Paint Valley hammers North Adams. Newland kind of has her way, striking out, I believe, all but one in the five-inning game in terms of outs. And Aaron Riley, I know I stood through the 45-minute rain delay there, and I know Aaron Riley starts the home half of the first off with a long ball, and the hit parade was on from there as the Lady Cats roll. Coach Medved and his Lady Cats off to the district tournament. And then Westfall rolls over Edina. I was happy to see Edina get a nice win for the conference. Yes, there.
Absolutely.
Against West Union as a builder. And, you know, Westfall rolls as expected there in the final. And then Zane Trace beats Eastern Brown 2-0 in a really well-pitched game. So, you know, Jeremy, when you think softball and you think the four teams moving out to the district, just kind of recap our four winners there and some of the games maybe that jumped out at you and some of the teams moving forward that you like.
Well, you know, you start at the top with Westfall, and they – you know, they just pick up right where you expect them to in the postseason and roll over Edina. But, yeah, you know, we talked how Edina would have an opportunity to kind of, you know, get a little taste of postseason success. And it was great to see them do that and get the shutout victory to advance against Westfall. You know, again, like we talked about before in the preview, I really like Westfall's bracket. I really like what they have in front of them. They're going to play a very good Portsmouth West team that is going to have, you know, I think around 10 losses. However, when you see the teams that they've lost to, they're all in the middle bracket. So, and those are teams that are going to have some success, for the next few weeks as well. So it's not like, you know, they're not tested. So I look for that to be a good test for Westfall. You know, moving down, the Huntington-Piketon game was kind of a toss-up. You know, they'd had some good games throughout the year, and then one of the games, you know, Piketon got them pretty good, but you expected a good pitching matchup, and with the weather going the way it was, you know, you kind of knew that game was going to be low-scoring, and Huntington was able to prevail and, you know, kind of build their confidence back up, you know, maybe shaken from the regular season. But, you know, knowing their tournament success last year, they're going to have a lot of confidence heading over to Uniota for their matchup with Wellston, a team that they've, you know, I think they've scrimmaged and they're a little bit familiar with. So, you know, I really look for them to be able to compete. I was able to see Wellston last week, and, you know, their pitching is just outstanding in the top of their lineup, you know, an aggressive group. So Huntington have their work cut out for them. But if, you know, if they can play good defense and get good pitching, you know, stay ahead in the count and maybe take advantage of last year's success and allow that confidence to keep them going, I think they've definitely got a shot. And then with St. Trace, you know, I really like their matchup with Meigs. I know Meigs has a couple athletes, but I just don't think they have the depth of talent to compete with Zane Trace and put runs on the board. So, you know, all in all, we have a good chance to keep on moving. And I know Paint Valley is going to have a really nice chance to to make it to the district championship. So hopefully come Saturday, we have all those teams still playing, and that's certainly a possibility.
Well, Jeremy, let's look at the other four teams there. We mentioned Edina got the first round win, which is a nice program step there, with Edina and Piketon both getting beat by the SVC. You hate to see that happen, but that's just part of the bracket sometimes. You mentioned Meigs, that's who beat Southeastern. I want to say 6-3. Southeastern played extremely well there. And then Uniota, it's got to be kind of a disappointing finish for them a little bit. You know, with the we just talked about the different things throughout the sports when we were talking all sports banner there in the D2. Obviously, I know you've talked about this a ton on SVC Sports Talk, the level of competition you get into, and Uniota had to feel like in that matchup they were capable of advancing on, and a tough seventh inning got them there. But you know, just talk to us a little bit about the four teams that see their season come to an end, and how you think that it might lead into next year for them.
Well, again, you know, you talked about Southeastern, and I think again they took steps in a positive direction this year. You know, they lost some close games. They lost some extra inning games this year, and they were able to compete in the tournament with a three seed. So they've got to appreciate that and build on that. And you know, I think as I look down through, Southeastern has some kids. They have a lot of kids involved in the younger level. So I really expect them to get better and really see their depth improve. And then once they have some established pitching, you know, they're going to move their way right to the top. You know, we talked about Edina, Piketon. It seems like over the last two or three years, it almost reminds you of the Reds this season, where it's just one run games. How many one run games has that group lost? You know, they've been right there, and they've proven they can play with about anybody. You know, they're going to have to replace a few kids to graduation. And then with Uniota, you know, it's a 2-0 game in Uniota's favor, and they kind of miss a couple opportunities. Couldn't quite get the two-out hit with runners in scoring position and, you know, extend the lead, and it comes back to haunt them as just kind of everything went wrong in the fifth inning, gave up some hits, hard hit balls, you know, make a mistake, catch a break here, one of those deals, and then it's just too much to overcome. And, you know, like you said, there's a lot of good teams in Division II, but certainly that's a game that they felt like they should get. But, you know, as you look back, they did the same thing the last 2 years and were able to kind of come out ahead in the sectional final. Maybe didn't play extremely well, but were able to survive. So, you know, just got to find a way to get over that hump. And you know, you can talk all you want about the competition or how good this sectional is or blah, blah, blah. When it comes down to it, you just got to go out there and play seven innings and find a way to get it done. And you know, at the end of the day, I think that's the same that can be said for anyone. I mean, we can talk about opportunities and what, regardless of division, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to do what got you there. And that would be my advice to all of our teams. You know, you want to smile and you want to enjoy making it to the district level and every level that you progress. You don't want to let that get to you. There's so many distractions out there as the spring comes and, you know, the summer comes and this and that. And you got a lot going on in your mind. You really want to slow things down and enjoy it and really concentrate to play your best ball this time of year.
Well, Jeremy, you make a couple points that I'm really intrigued by, and I want to tie it in with our baseball. So our softball fans, I'd really encourage to stick with this here, because Jeremy, I want to continue our tournament talk, but after the break, let's turn our attention to baseball, where the SVC has lost over half the league, but is still proving to be a respectable conference in the Southeast District. Jeremy, as we turn over to baseball, again, I have some points from softball there that I want to to bring in later in the discussion to get your take on. I think the fans will really, really enjoy. But first, let's just kind of recap baseball. We have the Paint Valley Bearcats off to the district final. We're here recording on Sunday night. So by the time a lot of you listen to this show, we'll obviously know the Bearcats' fate in terms of district runner-up or off to the Sweet 16. And then Adine, as expected, rolls to the sectional title. And then the Huntington Huntsmen, really a big win. So happy for Coach Smith there. I tell you, what a huge win for our conference. Portsmouth West, I made the comparison, Jeremy, to last year's Westfall senior class, where they kind of had that bitter ending, but people needed to understand what that Westfall senior class still accomplished in the end. I know it was a tough ending when it happened, but when you reflect and you understand just how good they were really, really good. That's how I'm sure the SOC looks at this Portsmouth West senior group, a really, really a successful group. And for Huntington to come back and find a way in eight innings to win that game. That was the type of game that I was talking about in the preview, where I didn't know if the league could run off a bunch of sectional titles, but I just felt like I think the term I used was battle tested and dangerous, and that was the exact type of situation I was referring to, where that Huntington team had played so many extra inning games. I want to say they were involved in 3-4 really, really tight games. And, you know, to find a way there, really happy for the league there. So, you know, three teams capture sectional titles. You know, Dina does it with good pitching, good defense, and you know, it seems like they always have enough offense. I mentioned the Huntington upset there. It was really great for the league. And, you know, and then on the Paint Valley side, a team that's really done it with pitching and defense all year long in terms of putting a more competitive product on the field in the league. Kind of goes out to the VA the other day, and pitching and defense wasn't there, but the offense found a way just to bust open in the big ballpark there. So really talented Sims Valley offense battled back, as you'd expect an 18-3 team to do. Paint Valley responds with the big third inning, and they're able to hold on and eventually get the run rule there in the sixth inning, and they'll be waiting in a really, really good Leesburg team on Monday night. So, Jeremy, we'll start on the winning side of things with three SVC teams winning sectional championships. Just thought I would get some of your responses as you followed the scores there over the weekend.
Well, you know, no surprise in terms of you know, the experience, I think, of Adina and their seniors, the success they had in the tournament last year, and to get the shutout win moving on to Paint Stadium. And again, I don't know a lot about their matchup with South Point there, but You got to believe there with 5 days rest and basically whatever approach they decide to take with the pitching, you know, they're going to have the luxury to make that decision, whereas a lot of schools don't have that because of the way the weather affected their sectional games or the way their district draw plays out. But, you know, you got to like their chances if they can continue to get good pitching and solid defense. You know, there were some other upsets throughout. You saw Waverly as a one seed got beat by Valley, but you know, when you have conference games, you know, that's going to happen with conference teams playing for the third time. But you know, back to your point, I was really impressed with Huntington, and you knew they were going to be a dangerous team. And you know, the way they've played, like you said, in close games, and you know, you just can't duplicate that. And I'm sure Portsmouth West was sitting there thinking about, you know, looking out maybe ahead a little bit to match up with Wheelersburg, a league foe, and, you know, that type of rivalry. Sometimes that comes back to get you. And, you know, similar to what they were able to do to you know, Farmer and Piketon last year in the district tournament. You know, you just grind and you keep it close, and then you catch a break and then you just get rolling. And it's kind of ironic that they almost, you know, kind of won the same way that, or lost the same way that they won last year. So, you know, just really, really impressed with what Huntington was able to do. And it just, you know, the further you go and the more confidence you gain, the more dangerous you get. And I think that was a great comments that you made a couple weeks ago about that. And same being said, I think we look like we're pretty smart people, you know, after listening to last week's show and the way it played out. And, you know, the Paint Valley group at getting healthy and you know, playing ball at the right time and getting a little more production up and down the lineup, and you see the runs that they're putting up. And I think sometimes, you know, psychologically, when an opponent, you look back and you say, man, they're scoring 12, 15, 17 runs or their last three, four or five games. You know, I think that helps not only the confidence of your hitters, but in the scouting report, you know, they've got to take that in consideration, and you know, maybe you can use that to your advantage as well. So I just like the opportunity of the Bearcats, and I wish you guys luck tomorrow. But as the listeners will know, it'll be in the past by the time they hear it. So we hope for the best there. But again, you know, just like on the girls' side, I think we have a real opportunity in each of those matchups to make it to the next round. So, you know, hopefully by the time we meet and do another show, we'll still be talking about, you know, all seven of these teams progressing.
Well, Jeremy, I want to finish the recap here real quick, and then I want to come full circle all the way back to a question that's kind of baseball and softball related. You know, Piketon loses a heartbreaker in 13. And Jordan, I know, goes 10 innings with a no decision, and they come back the next night. And they end up going 13th, and they lose that one. And I know Westfall gets knocked out by Huntington. I thought Westfall was a dangerous team, as was Huntington, so it was a shame they had to beat up on each other. Uniota loses to a really high-level pitcher there against Gallia. Southeastern plays pretty well, loses to Valley, who you mentioned beat Waverly. And then Zane Trace loses a heartbreaker in 8 innings to the Southern Hills League, or I guess it's the Southern Hills Athletic Conference now.
Yeah.
Or is it league or comp? I don't know. That nonetheless, Lynchburg Clay won that conference, and Zane Trace had every opportunity. I know, talking to Coach Allen today, just kind of disappointed. They felt like they let one get away there, but nonetheless, I think all of the matchups, win or lose, kind of did show the ability of the SVC this year and some of the danger. The thing that jumped out at me back in the softball discussion, and I saw it firsthand as a coach over the weekend, I saw it in scouting, because scouting from regular season to scouting in tournament, I think I'd even heard some softball coaches talk about it. It's the experience, and it's what the experience truly means when you get on the bigger stage. And I think some people, Jeremy, will look at experience and say, well, it's kind of overrated, it's not that big a deal. But then you watch these kids play in these bigger games. It's a different atmosphere. If I'm being honest, when we took the field the other day in the district tournament, it was a different atmosphere. You could sense it in the crowd. You could sense it in the game, the intensity. And you see kids do things all year long, and this is, again, scouting regular season, scouting tournament, watching just as a fan. You see kids do things all year long, and then they get into that big stage, and they start to get amped up a little bit. Maybe a pitcher will overthrow, or a fielder will maybe get a little antsy in terms of their route to a ball, or, you know, making a simple throw. In the experience of it all, maybe this goes back to where Huntington softball can put a tough season behind them and maybe gain some momentum in the tournament based on what they accomplished a year ago. What is it about the experience that maybe helps that athlete, in your opinion, just kind of settle down or slow down in that moment, that, you know, maybe the person that hasn't been there before maybe gets a little amped up? I think some people even use the term in sports, maybe a little bit unfairly, that the stage is too big for them. What is it that balances out for athletes to be able to perform in that pressure situation, in your opinion? Is it experience?
Well, you know, I think truly it has more to do with just confidence and composure. But, you know, that goes back to the root, which is having that experience. So
sure,
one way or another, you have to go through it, and you probably have to fail. You know, I think, like it or not, and as a hitter, you know, I don't care if you're the best hitter in the league. You know, when you go into a tournament game, you're still probably only getting 3 at-bats. And, you know, let's say, you know, you kind of get behind the count, you get backdoored your first at bat, and, you know, you get 2 strikes and you're on the defensive. You pop up, you ground out, whatever. Well, now you start to think about, well, I may only get 2 more at bats. And
right.
and that pressure builds on yourself. So I think that's where the composure comes into just being able to clear everything out and take it for what it is, pitch for pitch. You know, if you make a mistake, you go on to the next play. But so often, early in the tournament especially, you see teams making 5-6 errors as a team. You're thinking, man, oh man, where did that come from? Well, again, as a third baseman, you know, you may go 3-4 games and never get a ball hit to you. Well, now, first tournament game in the first inning, you get 3 balls hit to you. Well, if you make all 3 plays, that's great. But if you miss the first one, man, that pressure builds. So I think the unique side of baseball and softball is, you know, you have a limited amount of opportunities if you're not a pitcher or catcher to help your team. And even defensively, it's an unbalanced amount of opportunities because you don't know. You know, your shortstop might get 15 balls hit to him one day and then go the next 2 games and not be a factor. So, you know, you never know where the ball's going to go. You never know when the ball's going to find you. And sometimes it's just, you know, luck of the draw. You know, there might be 5 kids out there that are scared to death. But if the ball's hit to the other 3 or 4, you're in good shape.
Well, I knew you'd give an interesting perspective. That's why I wanted to ask you that question. You know, you're always telling kids you got to try to put yourself there and act like you've done it before. But if we're being honest, it's hard to do that if you haven't done it before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it is one of those things where you, I guess you see it with young athletes so many times in all sports. You'll see the kid miss the easy one in basketball and compound the problem with a silly foul. Or you'll see the pitcher in softball or baseball just maybe get squeezed on the 1-0 pitch, and then they're so worried about that the next pitch they don't execute. Now all of a sudden it's 3-0. You know, so you're always trying to get the kid to, like, I love the word you use, compose themselves, just to try to stay in the moment and focus next play. So I think that's something really interesting for fans to watch going through the postseason here, as they watch some of our teams play here at some of the elite levels in district and hopefully regional levels. Well, Jeremy, I'll tell you what, let's go to extra innings here. This week, the two of us will share in the softball and baseball input. Jeremy, you still hit lead off and I will follow. So here we go. Let's go to extra innings.
What have you learned about the SVC in baseball based on the postseason to this point?
Well, thanks to Shane the last couple weeks, I haven't learned a lot from the tournament. But from Shane, I learned that dangerous was the key word.
I learned that the league has grown. And we're in for a few capable teams left here, but in for a great league in 2015.
What have you learned about the SVC in softball based on the postseason to this point?
For the good or the bad, pitching is still the king.
Well, Jeremy, I guess I'll take it right back to you. I guess you were right here in terms of in that D3 bracket, things can still be quite sweet for the SVC, as in Sweet 16.
An email this week wanted to know your 2015 predictions. Next spring, the favorite in baseball will be blank, and in softball, the league pick will be blank.
Well, I would say in baseball, I just want to put pressure on Shane, so I'm going to say Paint Valley.
Oh, here we go.
In softball, you know, I think that's Zane Trace, without a doubt.
Well, Jeremy, in all seriousness, you know, when you look at favorite in baseball, I think you'd have to go with the Edina Warriors out of respect for what they've done this year with the incredible youth that they have. And then I'll also go Zane Trace in softball. I agree with you with the likes of Gino back. Just going to be too much. Well, Jeremy, just kind of as a recap of all those, we talked a lot about the tournament. It is intriguing. You know, as teams start to get beat and they fall out of the tournament bracket, you can't help as an SVC junkie, if you will, like I am, to start to look at these teams and to always look to the following year in terms of your 2015 predictions. I do think when looking at those first two questions, I do think that we've learned that the SVC in baseball is really grown up, if you will. A lot of youth this year, a lot of new stars. the league's in really good hands for the next couple of years. And then, as you say, in your softball answer there, the pitching's still the key, and that's going to be the key again next year. I know you look around the league. I think Gino gives Zane Trace a chance to be a favorite, but, you know, obviously Blevins going to take the ball there in the circle for Uniota. Lytle returns. I mean, so just your overall take maybe on what the spring of 2015 will hold before we go into our final look at the inbox here.
Well, you know, I think you're right. Baseball kind of turns the page from inexperience to experience. You have a lot of young talent. You're going to have a lot of development. You know, on the boys' side, you're going to have a league that physically looks different. I mean, you think about
absolutely
some of the sophomores in the
good
league.
Good point, yeah.
You know, you see it all the time. You have kids that have good mechanics, and as pitchers, I'm saying, good solid mechanics, and maybe as a sophomore, you know, they're 74, 75. Well, there's a real good chance that, you know, by their junior year, that they physically develop to the point where they start pushing 80. So now we have the opportunity maybe to go from a league that, you know, you're searching for the kids that can get up to that 80 mile per hour mark, to having a bunch of kids with that kind of potential. And that changes everything, you know, and you look at the experience that they gained with all the close games and all the tight extra inning, even carryovers. I mean, how many games do we have this year that started one day and ended a couple weeks later?
Right.
So those experiences, you know, just can't really, you can't duplicate those. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot more expectation throughout the league. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the kids step up and kind of own that expectation. Whereas this year, everybody was talking about, oh, so-and-so's down, so-and-so's down. You know, it's all different when the eyes point to you and there are expectations. So it's really going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. And with softball, you're going to have some really talented seniors that have been a part of the league for a long time and been the better players in the league for a long time.
Right.
And you never know how that goes out. So really, you just hope that everybody can stay healthy and, you know, tournament wise next year, you certainly hope that instead of looking at seven total teams that we look, you know, for seven teams from each side that have a chance to win tournament games and advance to the district level.
Well, I'm certainly for that. I'll tell you what, SVC fans, you can get involved on Facebook, where I'm Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, Twitter, and in the inbox, admin1@svcsportszone.com. Or give us a call, 740-569-3254. And Jeremy, let's get out of here with a final look to the inbox. We mentioned Chris Eldridge, one of our most famous listeners, if you will, throughout the Southeast District. We had a Chris Eldridge sighting in the inbox this past week, so I thought it fitting to end the show with Chris. Chris basically giving you credit, Jeremy, saying you are correct. He has become quite the softball fan. Talks about even taking in a little college softball there with Ohio State Northwestern and watching a little Big Ten tournament action with Minnesota and becoming the winner there. And Bruce has a shout out to you here. It says to keep up the good music. He could never go wrong with the hair bands. So people know Eldridge know that he's going back to his youth there and some of the music he enjoyed listening to. And then he gets serious a little bit, which is something that you won't get much out of Chris. So I figured if he was going to be serious here, Jeremy, we better take advantage of it.
That's
and talk
exactly
sports
right.
A little bit. He says, I didn't know if you guys were going to revisit the topic of SVC expansion or not, but I have some thoughts about it. He talks about how they would have to go to 16 divisions. I've heard things of Waverly and Eastern wanting in, but I don't think it would be wise to have five-team divisions. If they want to expand, which I have mixed feelings about, he says, I think that they would want to add Waverly, Eastern, Greenfield, McLean, and Vinton County. I don't think anything else would work as far as location or competitiveness. I would probably be he thinks it would be Uniota, Westfall, Zane Trace, Greenfield, Vinton County, Waverly in a big division with Piketon, Edina, Southeastern, Huntington, Paint Valley, and Beaver Eastern in the small. If populations would shift, these could always be changed. I think these four teams could work. But like you guys said, the SVC needs to move slowly on this with caution. They have to make sure to get a commitment from these schools for a long time in terms of the period that they would be coming into the league. And, you know, in all seriousness, Jeremy, you know, Chris is someone that has a lot of SVC roots, grew up at Southeastern, even though he works in the Vinton County system now. He has a family in Southeastern, and he's still very involved, has friends that coach at multiple SVC schools. So he's very much a part of the SVC still. And you could tell that he's taking some of his SVC passion, combining it with what he's watched the TVC and some other surrounding conferences go through here. And I think he makes some good points. I know we've talked a lot about it. But I guess the one thing I would ask you, Jeremy, the thing that jumps out at me about the email is it's going to be really, really difficult to make a small change. Do you agree that it almost has to be a no change policy, or it's going to have to be one of those where we're all in and we are going to have to truly expand? You see what I'm saying there in terms of the extremes? What's your take on that?
I agree. And honestly, you know, Chris and I have never spoken directly about this, but you know, I tend to agree with what he's saying that, you know, it's gotta be add four if you're going to add any, and it's gotta be well planned out. And you know, it's not something that can just happen in a matter of weeks or months. It's got to be dissected from every potential angle so that, you know, everybody's on the same page going in. Otherwise, it's just a lot of times a first step into a chain reaction of unfortunate events for a league.
Last thing before we get out of here, Jeremy, that this got me thinking about, with us talking about the All Sports banner earlier and tournament this week, and then Chris's email. Yeah, you take – I'll just use Paint Valley since I'm familiar with that. You know, you take a small school like Paint Valley that throughout the sports banner points and throughout a lot of the league sports has trouble keeping their head above water, and they're fighting and fighting and fighting. And even some of the good teams we have, you know, will struggle to go 4-10, 5-9, 7-7. And then you look at maybe, say, like a Uniota in Division II. I know you talked about it earlier about how – you know, there's a lot of talented teams in there. Is it a thing about the balance in the league that you think the league competition and then the tournament competition balances one another out? Or is it something where the league moving forward, say 5-10 years from now, is going to be better served trying to get competition to where top to bottom you can truly get the parity that maybe we've seen in baseball this year? I think we'd agree we don't really have that parity in all sports. Would that be something better served to make the SVC a lot better product, say, over the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I mean, ideally, I think that's a great point. You know, how do you make that happen? Is it realistic to think that, you know, you're going to be able to have consistent programs in multiple sports where you're, you know, hindered by your enrollment? I just don't know that's something that, regardless of what type of plan you put in place or, you know, what measures you take, I just don't know if that's something that you can control at the high school level. Sure. In terms of athletics. So I just find it, you know, difficult for schools like Paint Valley, for Huntington, for Southeastern in certain ways, to be able to, Adina falls into this. If you have a class, if you have back-to-back classes, I guess I'll use this example. If you have back-to-back classes where you don't have a lot of involvement in a particular sport, whether it's basketball or baseball, softball, volleyball, if you have back-to-back classes where you don't have that involvement, it doesn't even allow the kids that are in those classes to develop, because, you know, you don't even have a seventh grade team. So
it's a good point.
There's just so many factors that play into that are just out of your control. You know, and you understand that as a coach, at a small school, you understand that as a teacher, how just certain things, you know, in an ideal world, yeah, we do this, this, and this, but, you can only work with what you've got in front of you.
Well, that's a great point. And I tell you, throughout the inbox, fans, we get so much feedback on this particular topic throughout the year. And we try not to overkill it here on SVC Sports Talk. But again, when something comes in as frequently as it does, we try to, you know, respond to each thing. So, fans, I encourage you to get involved and let us know. Again, that's admin1@svcsportszone.com. So, well, it's been a great show, Jeremy. I've enjoyed it. We look forward to next week, and we hope you, the fans, will join us next week. So for Triple Crown Family Fun Center, for Bruce Knox and DBK Media Services and all the other great sponsors on the website, and for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.